check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. A little early to be calling it. We got a lot to talk about today, a lot going on.
True.
Including a wise rebuttal. So I am going into this entire show with bated breath. So we'll see what happens. But also later in the show, besides that, we will be reviewing The Watchers, which is out in theaters now. But before we get there and get to our segments, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Oh, man. Not a whole lot to watch in Supernatural, and also watched the most recent episode of the Pretty Little Liars show. So, honestly, not a whole lot. Supernatural has taken up most of my time.
That's a good thing. We'll never argue that point, so. I didn't really watch, but I mean, I watched some low budget slashers. I'm not going to, again, not rattle these off because, we have a whole segment, so they might come up in the future. So I'm not going to really rattle those off. So let's just transition over to that segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this is our cheesy slasher of the week. And this week we are going to talk to you. This is not a review per se. This is us giving you some facts, a little overview about a cheesy slasher from the genre's past that you might want to go check out for yourself. We're just going to kind of introduce you to it. And this week we're going to introduce you to a movie called Final Exam. The movie is described as a psycho killer shows up on a college campus to slash up pretty co-eds and dumb jocks. So what is not to like about that? The movie is available to watch on Shudder. It was released June 5th, 1981. It did receive a small theatrical release. It was moderately successful, and it also received a novelization in 1981. That's kind of wild. I know back in the 80s, lots of things got novelizations, but it's funny to me that kind of a low-end slasher movie got a novelization. It's kind of peculiar. The movie was written and directed by Jimmy Huston, and the movie was shot in 6 weeks for $375,000, starring Cicely Baghdadi, Joel Rice, Ralph Brown, Timothy Rayner, and more. The film was pretty much film in sequence, so when a character was killed off, the actors would pretty much leave and go home. They were done. So, you know, I don't know how many of these actors were, like, hoping for an early kill so they could go home. But, yeah. And Timothy Rayner, who played the killer, says that the knife he wields in the movie was an actual butcher's knife and not a prop. So, I don't know. There were no notes on any accidents. I do know that I read that Timothy Rayner got the part in big part because he had a martial arts background. So apparently, I'm sure he was, very adept at weapons, I guess.
So, I hope so.
Yeah. And much of the film's crew were friends and students of director Jimmy Huston, which is not surprising. Lots of these low budget movies are kind of almost mom and pop-ish in their approach. So there you go. It's on Shudder. Go watch Final Exam. This is actually a fun movie. For especially, you know, it's a cheesy slasher. I like them all. They're all fun, but this one's pretty entertaining. So go give it a watch. And there you have it, our cheesy slasher of the week. So. Now we transition on to our weekly segment for this episode. And this week, we have the wives rebuttal. So I think we have to take a deep breath and gear up. And let's dive into that segment.
Ah!
his rebuttal.
All right, in this episode for our weekly segment, we have a wives' rebuttal. And joining us, of course, are the wives. First of all, Kayla, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, it's to be determined. And also joining us is Monica. How are you, Monica?
I have a feeling that I'm the to be determined.
Well, I mean, do you want verification? Because if you need vindication for your feelings, yes, you are. And and today on Wise Rebuttal, we are discussing the movie In a Violent Nature. And just a few episodes, Ike and I reviewed it. Overall, we gave it positive reviews. I liked it a little more than I did, but that I had some concerns. But overall, did enjoy the movie. Kayla was a little lukewarm on it, and Monica absolutely hated it. So we're going to try to discuss, and by discuss, I'm very strongly using air quotes. this movie. So, all right. So let's dive into this. It's like I can feel my chest clenching already. So let's start with Kayla, since once Monica gets rolling, Kayla can't get a word in edgewise.
Bite me.
Okay. Kayla, tell us your thoughts on In a Violent Nature.
So, like you said, I didn't hate it. I certainly didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I think I first want to say what the movie did well. And I think the concept of the movie in itself is a really good concept. And I think the kills were really, really good, especially the one on the cliff scene with the girl doing yoga. That was like Terrifier level kill. I think it was done really, really well. But while I do think that, I do think that this movie was 75% of homeboy just walking through the woods, and it was just not enjoyable. And I, now looking back on it, I think the concept, like I said, is good. I think it would be perfect as like a short film, but a whole hour and a half, however long it was just, it just got boring.
Okay. Now, to be fair, slashers aren't necessarily your bread and butter, correct?
True. You're not, true. You're, that is very true.
Okay.
She's more of the ghosts and possessions and
paranormal
spooky monster type thing.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Ike and I have professed our favorites are slashers. And so that does, you know, maybe put a little bit of a bias on it. Okay, Monica. You have very, very, well, you just have very strong opinions, period. But you did not like this movie in any way, shape, or form. So first
before
we
start, does she have like a timer or something? Because like,
I don't know. I don't know. So before we start, did you see anything positive about this movie?
If you were in, if going into it, you just wanted to see good kills. I thought some of the kills were interesting. I don't even want to say interesting. Now, the one on the cliff that Kayla talked about, that one was pretty gruesome. I mean, that one, if I was looking for a slasher movie, that was a good kill. So if the only thing you're going into this movie for is slasher kills, then it did pretty good.
It was definitely two sides of a coin when we were sitting in the theater and watching it, because during some of the kills like that one, you were kind of wincing, covering your eyes just a little bit or whatever else, and I was giggling like a boy, a little boy. So
yeah,
definitely. Two perspectives there. So
now I want to say that was at least more positive than I thought it was going to be, because I thought when you said like, did you find anything redeeming about the film? I thought she was going to say like the credits or something, like
Well, we're about to steer her to the negatives now. So everybody buckle in and brace. If anybody out there, if you're partaking in an adult beverage while you're listening, this is the perfect time to take a good drink and gear up, because here we go. All right, Monica, what did you keep it in mind? This is not the entire show. We have to keep a reasonable time frame on this. And by reasonable, I mean shorter than you usually do. Tell us what you did not like about this movie. Give us, just give us 1 point first. How about that? Let's just do one at a time. Give me 1 point that you didn't like about the movie.
Everything else.
That's not 1 point.
Okay. Let's just start with this. Kayla brought up Hit the Walking. I literally felt like I was watching a low rent version of Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Well, I don't remember in Lord of the Rings a woman having her head pulled through her abdomen, but okay.
I said low rent.
There
was less walking in Lord of the Rings, all three of them, than there was in this movie. When I went into this completely open-minded, because you kind of build it to me as a new take.
No.
Why can you not just let me finish a sentence?
Because your sentence is not correct.
It was going to be from the killer's point of view.
Okay, which was not false.
It was false. It was not from the killer's point of view. It was from the dude that was walking behind the killer's point of view.
Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean you're looking through his eyes. You don't understand. You just don't. Don't blame you're just liking this movie on me trying to sell it for one thing.
I'm not saying that you're the reason I disliked it.
Well, that sounds like the rumor.
You bought me a bottle of water. You held my hand. It was a perfectly fine experience with you.
Okay. All right. So, to be fair, that was one of the things I said, right? The walking was a little redundant. There was a little too much of it that I felt that it needed. It could have cut some walking and added a few more kills. That there was that was one of my concerns as well. So, well, everybody, the whole world talks about the walking. So let's just fucking forget about the walking, because everybody has got an opinion about the walking. And so give me something else besides the walking that you had a problem with this movie.
Okay. So if there was this horrible thing in the woods, and everyone seemed to know about it. You know, the fire guy knew about it. The lady who picked her up, which, by the way, when I went into this, they were like, oh, Lauren Marie Taylor's in it. You know, she was Vicky from Friday the 13th Part 2. And her entire part was her being creepy, having picked up the girl as a hitchhiker.
Okay, hold on. You heard that she was in the movie, right?
Yes.
Was she in the movie? Yes. So there's nothing factually wrong with the statement.
Say it was factually wrong.
Then don't insinuate. Did you hear somebody say, oh, she's in the movie and she's just got a huge role? No, you just heard she was in the movie. She was in the movie.
When you put someone whose entire career is fundamentally one movie, and that movie is a horror movie, that's like putting Jamie Lee Curtis in that movie and then having her drive a car and tell a creepy story for 5 minutes. But anywho.
So, whoa. No. You're not just going to anywho this one. You're comparing an actress who has like one credit. What, it hasn't been in a movie in 30 something years. And is in this movie and is the scene to Jamie Lee Curtis, and you think these are equivalencies? No! It's not like this woman's got this huge resume that she should have had a bigger part. No! She has one movie!
Okay, but to be fair, she has more than one credit. I mean, she was on Ryan's Hope and on Loving, which are both,
God help us all. She won us
in the 80s.
What a sensation.
Hey, she was on Pound Puppies, damn it.
That's a voice job.
I know. I was
Listen, I personally, I like the scene where they're driving. I think that that is a very well set up shot where this unassuming woman is basically trying to, you know, take care of this other woman. So, but like, in my opinion, it's just a very well placed, like, subversion of expectation. You know, she's trying to keep her going, you know, trying to keep her up and everything else. And I thought her speaking role was done very well. I thought that her role was very eloquent in terms of being just like a bystander. And it speaks perfectly to the concept of the you know, what a bystander should do in this case. I mean,
oh, I'm not saying that, Isaac, but what I'm saying is, okay, let's go back to what I started to say. So you have this thing that everybody knows is dangerous. Okay. It is literally a threat to human existence. And the only thing that keeps it from coming out and killing people is a necklace on a stick. Wouldn't you build a little better security system around it? I'm just saying, okay? They didn't have to break into anything. There wasn't even like a door to open.
And I guess the only issue with that, and I suppose that you have to think about it from, it's a plot device, right? It's a narrative driver. If you remove all logic from this, and you also have to think, how did it end up there in the first place, right? We're led to believe that it ended up there in the first place when the park ranger put down Johnny the first time. Well, maybe not the first time he was put down, but he was the last time he was put down. So I would imagine that if we were to use any form of logic, the park ranger probably got put him down and GTFO'd. I mean, if it were me, I'm not going to stick around and build a 4x4 box with a glass screen protector on it to ensure nobody touches it.
If I dig a well, I build a cover for it. So all you had to do was, I don't know. It just, the entire movie just, in terms of plot.
To be fair, if you start pulling it
paper thin,
if you start pulling at threads like that, the whole genre just falls apart, right? I mean, if it's just like, I mean, you can't do that. You can't just say, oh, if they had just, yeah, because it's a movie. Yes, of course you can say, oh, if you put a big concrete slab around it, none of this would happen. Yeah, but you can say that about all kinds of, that the whole genre falls apart if you start doing that shit. This whole genre is built on idiots doing dumb things.
I don't know. I guess I expected way more out of this. This guy, you know, was like the inspiration for this film and the style was, you know, Gus Van Sant's Death Trilogy. And he also cited, who was it? Terrence Malick, I think, as an influence. Yeah. Dude must have been stoned when he watched all that, because there was no quote unquote influence or quote unquote style. This movie, literally, they were like, you know what we should do? Okay. We're going to walk behind Bob and hold the camera, because Bob's a little tall. And we're going to have Bob put on his Apple Watch, and we're going to aim for 25,000 steps. And once we get the video of Bob at 25,000 steps, we want this movie to be, I don't know, 80 to 90 minutes. So then once we see how much we have left, we'll talk about the rest of the movie. It just was ridiculous on like a whole new level.
So we said we're going to dismiss the walk-in and not go back to that and move on to other points. And you just went back to the walking.
Because it's so, okay.
Do you have other concerns besides the walking? Because we're moving on from the walking. This is why these conversations get to be 50 minutes. Because you won't just move on to the next point.
Stop talking. You talk the rest of the show.
You know, yeah. I could kick you out of this call. Just so you know, I am God. I am God of this call.
Yeah, and I'm God of what we have for dinner tonight. So right now you're having a big, nice breakfast, but if you want a can of SpaghettiOs, let's dance.
I like SpaghettiOs.
No, but serious. In all seriousness, think about some of your horror movies that you really like, okay? For me, it's things like Halloween and Friday the 13th. So let's, one of the big ways that you anticipate it is what? It's the score. And unless you count crunching leaves, I mean, there was nothing. So you had one good kill and the rest were, You had a guy walking and there was nothing to build any suspense because the movie itself didn't. And we all know, I mean, turn on Star Wars without John Williams' amazing score and you're going to be like, I mean, we know that that is what makes a movie. You know, we went from silent films all the way up to, you know, the amazing scores we have now. And I don't know. It just didn't work. It was just so boring. It was missing all the things that could have made it good. Could have that movie been a little better? Could the walking have been more of a plot point? Yes, absolutely could have. And maybe a score would have helped that. Even the kills. I mean, without that, like the yoga one. As he was watching her and getting closer to her, imagine if there was that music that was building up to it. You know, it would have brought in that suspense. You know, you didn't know if he was just some weirdo watching somebody do yoga until he decided to like put her head through her vagina. I just think that any opportunity it had to be a decent movie, it missed trying to be so avant-garde or, you know, trying to be special when in fact the things that would have made it special, they left out.
I mean, I guess that was a nice recovery from the previous shittery, but...
What are you talking about, the shittery?
I don't know. I know that like Dave wants us to move past the walking, but I just have to comment that like I think the criticism about the walking is such a weak criticism, and I'm not saying that meanly to Kayla.
But it's not when like 75% of the movie is walking.
So yeah, what I mean,
you tell him.
What I mean is that when you look at the film as an overall, yes, the walking takes up a lot of time, and I suppose it is a matter of perspective, but I don't know, when I look online, that's what everyone says, right? Everyone says, oh, the whole movie's the guy walking, blah, blah, the whole movie's the guy walking. But when you think about it from the perspective of the film, it's a serial killer, a supernaturally driven serial killer who is driven to kill until he gets this object that kept him at rest, he's going to be walking a lot.
Okay, but that doesn't mean they have to make a movie about him walking.
But that's the thing, is that I understand that they didn't have to make the movie, but the argument that whether or not they should have made the movie is a philosophical argument that is different than the quality of the movie.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think they could have easily cut down the walking by 50%, put more of the actual film in it, and I still think it would have got across the same point.
And you know what? That very easily could have been the case. You know, but at the same time, you know, we will probably never know that. So we kind of have to use, I guess, the film that we have, I suppose. But I don't know. I really enjoyed it. You know, this was one of those movies that I watched it. I kind of sat on it for a while and I was like, you know, I really, really like this movie. Like, it went from being like a 3, 3.5 to a 4 because I sat and I thought about it. And so
you gave it a 4?
Yeah, I still can't. The fact that you gave it a 4 and you also gave Terrifier 2 a 4. Like,
I gave Skinamarink a 4.
Exactly. We're not talking about that though. But it's, I can't. I don't.
Okay, so I personally like experimental movies. You know, I liked, you know, Skinamarink. I liked The Outwaters. You know, I like those kinds of movies. And I would argue that In a Violent Nature falls into sort of that genre of experimental horror where they're trying to subvert the expectations of the genre, right? The expectations of a slasher film are, you know, slasher go here, slasher kill here, slasher kill here, and then final girl put down slasher. This was different. This was not at all what anybody expects out of a slasher film, even in spite of the walking, you know? So that's why I gave it a 4. I enjoyed it. I saw the value in the positives within it. I do think it was not a perfect movie, but I thought it was perfect enough for me.
Okay, so the guy that did this, I can't remember his name. I know his last name's Nash. But anyway, the inspiration for this film for him was Gus Van Sant's Death Trilogy. Have you seen the Death Trilogy? It's Jerry, Elephant, and Last Days. It was early 2000s. Okay, well, sometime watch them, because what it's about is it's a slower pace. Everything is more, you know, every single movement is thought out. And there, you know, there's no rush. Everything is. In fact, I know two of the three are kind of loosely based on kind of current things that were happening. Like one's, I think, a school shooting, and I haven't seen them in forever. But anyway, okay. If you watch those and this guy says, I drew my inspiration from this, there is nothing like those things. There is a part of me that thinks they filmed what they wanted. And then they were like, well, shit, we only have like 20 minutes of a movie. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even saying that what little bit of the movie there was necessarily bad. They had elements there that really could have been interesting. You know, the necklace, you know, like he was going to get the necklace. However, he stood outside the campfire where the necklace was clearly visible. And he didn't come in and be like rip roaring through everybody to get the necklace. So then that makes you think, how much of the necklace is really propelling him? Is he more of a killer, or is he more of a killer with a mission? So, I mean, I don't know.
I would argue that as a killer, someone who is driven by vengeance, he's not an idiot. You know, he might be simple because that obviously was part of like his backstory, is that he was, you know, he was not mentally all there. But someone who is not mentally all there, who is potentially operating at a slower pace, is not going to approach a group of almost 10, even if his mission is to get this necklace back. Michael Myers didn't do that. Jason Voorhees rarely, if ever, did that.
Compare those. You cannot compare those to this guy.
Okay,
Michael Myers.
Now Jason Voorhees.
Okay, Jason Voorhees even. Initially. Now, when you get into the crazy later ones, yeah, okay, he crawled out of a grave after being electrocuted. Okay. But initially, these were people motivated just by their need to kill people. This guy was, I mean, this was filmed somewhere in Canada. I want to say Ontario.
Yeah.
If you took the kills out of it, it would be a great come to Ontario and visit our forests movie. I mean, it would be like an hour long, but I don't know.
Anywho, before we dwell too long on it, because I guess I've talked a lot. Even Kayla's talked a lot. We haven't heard much from Dave.
Well, I was told to shut up.
Oh, my God.
And it worked for once. He really wants the biscuits and gravy. So, I didn't tell you to shut up.
Somebody is digging a grave right now.
Well, I told you to stop.
Mm-hmm. We know who's more who's more dependent on who in this relationship, but who's going to lose out more in the long run.
I don't even know what that means.
You will. I don't know.
Kayla, can I come stay with you for a while?
She's temperamental. She's temperamental, I warn you.
I'm what?
Temperamental.
Kayla literally gestured to the microphone for me to respond, rather than respond herself.
Kayla, I thought we were friends.
And she remains silent.
I feel like I'm being betrayed by everyone.
Well, maybe if you didn't steal all her speaking time, she would.
I did not steal her speaking time. I have sat here quietly when she spoke and when her and Isaac were going back and forth. I have been a very good little girl.
Oh, so it's only me you cut off and tell to be quiet.
Yep.
this has gone 27 minutes. Do you want me to tally up who the portioning of this 27 minutes?
No.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I don't have anything to add to this. I'm just sitting back and listening.
He's enjoying the show. I mean, I do understand. I guess to kind of like. I guess wrap it a little bit because I know that we've kind of gone back and forth and gone back to the walking and back and forth on the walking. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to pretend like this movie's for everyone, but it's one of those, you know, it's one of those that you should probably know what you're getting yourself into kind of movies. And normally, like, you know, I'm not like a proponent of like, oh yeah, look up this movie, see if it's something, you know, I'm usually the jump into it, just go for it. But this movie is not for everyone. I mean, I acknowledge that in our review. I even said, like, you know, I understand why someone might not like this movie. It's just, I also have a hard time separating from the fact that I enjoyed the movie and I saw plenty of redeeming qualities. So it's like, it's that twofold twist, you know?
I want to go back to something Kayla said. You gave this a 4, and you also gave Terrifier 2 a 4. Are you saying they are on the same entertainment level?
To me, yes. I am as much as one can be, I am as equally entertained by those films as I am with this. And honestly, in retrospect, I would probably rate Terrifier 2 higher, but in the case of consistency, I have always stated that I have given it a 4. But keep in mind, Terrifier 2 was among, I mean, that movie came out in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't want to say it was one of the first movies that we reviewed, but it was, we had not been recording for more than a few months at that point. So, you know,
You were learning how to review a movie, because I know that ain't true.
Well, what I'm saying is that there's a curve when it comes to your gradation. You know, when you start grading things, you start.
Gradation, a word.
It sure is. But I mean, there is. When you start at the beginning, you're more conservative with your grading. And so movies that you really enjoy, you're probably not going to give more than a 4, because you're like, surely I can't give this movie a 4.5 or a 5, you know? But if I were to go back, I would probably give Terrifier 2 a 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to answer the question.
You got quiet there. No follow-up from her on that.
I know.
I don't think there's a word called gradation. Now if you take the I out, and that means any process or change taking place through a series of stages by degrees or a gradual manner. But
okay, you're hung up on the wrong pointer.
Very much so.
So, okay, so let's try to bring this home a little bit, because we're going long again. One of the things that I liked about the movie, and I will see what everybody else thinks, particularly the wives. I did say that I did like the design of the killer, the look of the killer. I thought it was a very nice look, iconic look, a marketable look for a killer. Now, taking out of it how he was using the film, blah, blah, blah. What did you think of just the visual of the killer?
I'd agree with you. He looked like a killer. Like, he wasn't like some little scrawny guy that you're like, oh, I could take him. Like, no, like that guy, if he came at me, like, I'm deaf going down. Like, he was a big boy. So I would agree with you.
I'm going to say something and you're going to all laugh and say that I'm joking, but I'm not. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup right now, except for by the back of his head, because I don't remember what the front looked like.
He literally wore a mask, a very distinct mask.
Well, no. the fire mask, I remember that, but other than that, I don't remember.
There was the scene where he had the mask off with the toy car, and okay, well.
Yeah, I remember the scene, but his face is just.
Well, even despite that, though, even with the fire mask, what do you think of the look?
I did like the old school fire mask, because that kind of tied his history into the present.
Okay. I did state in the review that he looked a little bit like a psychotic minion, but that wasn't necessarily in a bad way, but.
I wish now I could remember.
And, okay. So, and we've all expressed that. You know, I did enjoy the kills. We've all expressed that, yes, the one kill was a very unique kill. And the effects were obviously very well done. So we've all kind of agreed with that hey, that one kill on the cliff is kind of the highlight of the movie, if we were doing a consensus. Correct?
Yeah.
I would say so. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to put some positive light on this thing as we close out here. And, So there we go. We'll leave it at that now. Keeping in mind, we're going a little long and we don't want to go much longer. At the end of this movie, it was clearly, there's clearly a door open for a sequel. If they choose or able to do it or whatever else. What do you think of the prospects? Very briefly. What do you think of the prospects of there being another movie?
I mean, I'd go watch it. I never say no to a movie. Very rarely do I say no. I like to give every movie at least a shot. So, I'd go watch it and go in with an open mind.
You know, for me, it would be I might watch it at 2:00 in the morning when literally I can't find anything else on, and I'm in one of those like moods where I'm going to sit there and watch it all the way through because I, you know, I keep thinking it's got to get better kind of movie.
But it's obviously it's pure speculation on our part. But do you think if they were to do a sequel, it would be more of the same? Or do you think it would dip more into what some of the older franchises do and they would try something different, try a different approach?
Well, I just want to tell you that I was trying to find a picture of his face because I seriously can't remember. And when you go to Google and click images, it's either the fire mask or the back of his head.
Okay.
So I don't know how you could do this movie and change much and it be a true continuation of the movie.
I'm just saying, do you think it would be the same with all the walking and blah, blah, blah? Or do you think just cinematic, they would maybe try something different?
I guess it just depends on how much of their own hype they believe. I mean, if they believe, you know, the handful of Rotten Tomato reviewers who have said that this was so amazing, then they would probably just try to do the same thing. If they were to look at the reviews by people who've seen it, the bulk of those kind of fall in what Kayla and I are saying, where I think it had potential. It just didn't realize it.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is the movie's been divisive, right? It's been pretty split and people that like it and don't like it. It wasn't like this. Well, it did okay. It wasn't like this huge, overwhelming success.
Right.
My gut says it's probably done it well enough that there's enough demand that they will do another, but that they would maybe hope to take it to a different level. So maybe they would try something, a different approach to it. I don't know.
Yeah. I honestly think the same. Like you said, not to be too long-winded, try to wrap up, but I do agree. I think that given the divisive nature of it, they will probably try and go for a more traditional method of delivery when they go to make the sequel. Like you said, I feel that there's been enough conversation about the film and enough money made by the film that we probably will see a sequel at some point.
Okay. And now, one last question. And again, let's try to keep this brief. Monica brought up the lack of a score and whatever else, because I think Ike and I had this conversation. Do you think simply the movie as is, but with a decent score, right? A decent score put over it. And I'm not, do you think that would have overwhelmingly helped the movie or that it wouldn't have been enough to really be that impactful?
No, I think it would have helped. A lot. It would have cut down the boredom of those walks.
See, I don't know. Like, I feel like that was one of the parts that I kind of did like, was like, it was different with, you know, not a lot of music. But yeah, I think if you would have added music, I don't really think it would have changed much, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay. Let's end on that note. Because as is customary, this has been
significantly too long.
Significantly too long and rather exhausting. And there is, and my Scotch buzz is wearing off. And we've got more to record of this show. And I'm losing my will to live, much less record. So, so let's
No.
You don't get to chime in at this moment. Yeah. So, all right. So, thank you, Ives, for joining us. Hopefully, it won't be another whatever eon before you're back on, or you know, maybe I should say, hopefully, it will be. I don't know.
Well, it was definitely your pleasure for us to be here.
Oh, what a heel thing to say! I swear,
that's just, no, that's what I thought.
Just totally dipping into the heel bag of tricks there and going for that. So, all right. Yes. Thank you for joining us. We're going to bid you farewell now. So Kayla, thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Monica, goodbye. I'm not even, I'm not even going to say thank you, but no. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. All right. And we're back with the news. That was something, wasn't it? 40 minutes of something.
Whew. Yeah, something's right.
But, all right. Let's talk about some cool stuff in the news. Starting us off strong. Jason Patrick of Lost Boys fame has joined the cast of Terrifier 3. The movie will feature David Howard Thornton, Lauren Lavera, Elliot Fullman, and Chris Jericho reprising their roles, and will also feature Patrick, Daniel Roebuck, and Tom Savini. The movie is coming to theaters on October 11th. Obviously, we are highly anticipating this movie. A lot of good stuff coming out about this. The closer we get to the release, the more information we're getting. And it is all good stuff, so very excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about it when they said something about Tom Savini being in it, that it's pretty cool when they do these cameo, you know, small bit parts for kind of these, you know, iconic figures in horror and Jason Patrick's, you know, that. And, so it's exciting. It's pretty cool. I look forward to seeing what his part is in the movie. Again, like we said last time, just when you think I could not be any more excited for the movie, they add just a little more. That just makes me think, oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Absolutely. But, well, obviously, and this is a good point to plug in here, make sure you follow us on social media, because anytime this kind of news comes up about Terrifier 3 or any horror movie, we post about it on social media, so make sure you're following us. All right. Moving on. Longlegs has a very interesting, let's say, advertising model. You can call a number to get a creepy call from the film. For those interested, the number is 458-666-4355. It's pretty cool. Actually, I texted David about this last night. You know, Kayla had shown it to me on TikTok, and I called the number, and it's pretty spooky, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So, I mean, and like, you know, it's so cool when they do stuff like that. I feel like that's, again, like an old thing that people used to do, like from the 2000s. You know, call a number, and it's something spooky. So, I'm glad they're still keeping that up.
Yeah, I didn't. It's like when I called it, I was like, what's going on here? But I think it's, at least to me, it seemed like you were supposed to, like you were conversing with the call. I think right. The way it was laid out, I was like, what is this? This doesn't make much sense. But I'm like, oh, it's kind of laid out like if you respond to it. But, I don't know. It was a little unsettling. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a good thing, I guess. Good marketing. All right. Jordan Peele's fourth movie will now be releasing on October 23rd, 2026. The film had an original release date of December 25th, 2024, which we speculated here on the show seemed just a little bit too soon. Now, 2 years too soon, maybe not, but yeah. You know, I feel like those preliminary speculations on the date were definitely a little hyperinflated, and it turns out to be a lot of hyperinflated, so we will eventually get that movie, just not yet.
Yeah, we said that. We was like, I don't know about this date. I don't think it's going to hold up. It seems awfully quick for no more going on with it. But it's apparently is not very far along when they started throwing this stuff out there. So, but still exciting nonetheless to know that movie's forthcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one other thing I want to mention for those of you who are interested, Smile 2 actually released a trailer today. So I think it was today. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but for anyone who wants to check it out, I think it's on YouTube.
Yep.
Anywho, upcoming birthdays. June 22nd, 1958, Bruce Campbell. Hail to the King, baby. Known for his role as Ash in the Evil Dead series. Obviously, Dave and I love Bruce Campbell, and we love the Evil Dead series. And we're very excited for the future that the Evil Dead series has, and hopefully, maybe, probably at least one more role of Ash Williams in the cinematic universe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's still, you know, and there is the executive producer, right, has the hand in all this. No matter what they do and everything else, he has input. But, you know, I don't know whether I don't know about as far as, you know, the Evil Dead stuff. But I don't, you know, we obviously, I'm sure I've not seen the last of Bruce Campbell in an acting role. So.
True. Very true. All right. June 26, 1984, Aubrey Plaza, known for her roles in Child's Play, the remake, Criminal Minds, and then, of course, Parks and Recreation. She's done quite a bit of stuff. I know there's a show on HBO that she's gotten a lot of praise for. I've never watched it, and I cannot remember the name of it, but there's some show on there that I hear is really, really good, but I can't recall it now.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but obviously I know her from Parks and Rec, and that and there, she has a great arc in Criminal Minds. She was really, really good as a kind of a villain in that, but then, of course, for the sake of the show, she was, yeah, in the Child's Play remake, so.
Oh, I found it. It's the White Lotus. It's a TV series, I believe, and it's on HBO Max. I heard it's good. I've never watched it, though.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, same. I'm not sure what it is either. Anywho, upcoming movie anniversaries. June 20th, 1975, Jaws. The OG. Obviously, Dave and I have sung the praises of Jaws. It's a good, you know, classic film. It has a lot of really great influence on just the horror universes in general. But also, it has a very good historical perspective to where this is where a lot of those shark movies began.
Yeah, I mean, this is a. I love Jaws. We've talked about it in the past. I'm not gonna dive into it. Too much more of it. It's a great movie. One of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going to June 24th, 2022, The Black Phone. So, of course, again, Dave and I have sung the praise of The Black Phone. We've reviewed this film, given it pretty good marks from what I recall. And we are also highly anticipating another film in the series. So hopefully more to come on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be, another, but, I think, pretty sure, right? We have, there's a review, right? In the archives of us doing Black Phone. We review Black Phone. Yeah.
We so, sure have.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love Black Phone. I know there's going to be the follow up, which I look forward to.
There you go. And then, of course, June 25th, 1982, The Thing. Honestly, The Thing is one of my favorite monster movies of all time. I love the, very realistic practical effects on The Thing. It's truly one of the creepier, you know, films that I've seen, and, you know, one of the more hopeless horror films I've seen too. It's just a very, very low kind of movie, and it's meant to be that way. You know, it's meant to be a, there is no hope, you know, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. So I love The Thing. Such a good movie. I know that they made a remake, but I would love to see some sort of sequel or something to that. I feel like you could very easily do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not big on remaking this movie because I feel the original's. I mean, like I said, I know it was remade, but it's like the original's pretty perfect as is. So I don't feel like it really. I don't feel like it added anything by doing a remake. So you can could have done something to add to the universe or add, you know, to the franchise, but. I don't feel that there was that big a need to remake this movie, but I love the movie.
Right. Gotta love it. And then another The movie, the June 25th, 1976, The Omen. And of course, we recently watched and reviewed The First Omen. But The Omen, of course, is a fantastic film. You know, Dave and I have both talked about this as well. And we spoke a little bit more in depth about it, I think, during our review of The First Omen and sort of our feelings on the franchise. But yeah, I mean, the Omen's a pretty iconic, you know, possession demon type movie, and definitely holds stake in the history of horror.
Yeah. I love the Omen. Thought The First Omen was a good entry into the franchise. Again, I think we talked about it even last week or the week before when one of the sequels came up with an anniversary. I even enjoyed, you know, to an extent the sequels. Yeah, Omen's a classic movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last but not least, June 26, 2019, Annabelle Comes Home. So this is actually one of those Annabelle Conjuring movies that I've only seen a couple times. I want to say maybe only twice. But I do really like this movie. I think this movie had a lot of potential, and I think it opens up a broader perspective for the Annabelle and the Conjuring universe as a whole. So I would highly recommend you check this one out if you haven't already. It's very good. Very, very good.
Yeah. The Annabelle movies they're fun. I don't know. At least in my world, dolls will never not be creepy. So, it doesn't lose its impact to me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last but not least here, we have some upcoming releases. Starting out first, The Exorcism is released in theaters on July 21st, 2024, starring Russell Crowe. And this is hopefully not an Avengers-level threat when it comes to the Pope's exorcist. I kid. It is described as a troubled actor begins to exhibit disruptive behavior while shooting a horror film. His estranged daughter wonders if he's slipping back into his past addictions or if there's something more sinister at play. I do want to catch this at some point. I don't know if I'll go to the theaters explicitly to see this, but I'll definitely catch this on streaming.
Yeah, me too. And that's, it just seems so peculiar to me to see Russell Crowe doing like another movie based on Exorcism. It's just so peculiar. It's like he only taking exorcism type roles now, or it's odd. I know this is completely different than the Pope's Exorcist, but feels weird. And it just feels like there's an awful lot of movies here lately based around this concept. I mean, the concept of exorcism and I don't know. It's like you run that risk of the market being a little oversaturated and things start to blend together and which one's which. It's like, I don't know. Not that they've not been good or whatever else, but it's just like, come on, somebody do something different, right? I don't know. And I'm not saying this is not a fresh take on something because it sounds different, but it's, I don't know. When you see the title, The Exorcism, it's like, okay, it's we're doing this again. But so be it. I'll watch it. And I like Russell Crowe, and hopefully it's good. So,
yep, very true. All right. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 will be available exclusively on Amazon Video On Demand on June 26th. We have, of course, reviewed this film as well as talked about the first film, so those are in our archives. Generally good remarks on those as well, but check those out if you want to.
I guess, again, I saw this and I guess I was confused because I don't know why I thought this was already out, Video On Demand and everything. I think I was thinking of the first one because remember the first one was very limited theatrical and then it came out Amazon only, which was kind of the first chance that most people got to see it. Well, this one had a little bit bigger theatrical release. I thought, well, we reviewed this movie. How did that happen? And I'm like, so this is not already out? I'm like, oh, wait, no. We went and saw this in a theater. I was very confused by this because for some reason I had to fact check this. I was like, I thought this was already out. Video on a minute, but nope. Lo and behold, it was, I was mixing up the two a little bit on my facts, but whatever the case may be, I love the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movies. Everybody, if you've not seen it, didn't get a chance to see it, or even if you just want to see it again, go rent it or buy it, watch it again. It's just super exciting. They got, the action figures are coming out for it. I'm excited about that. I know, we're getting a third one. I mean, I love these movies. They're so fun to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait to watch it again.
Oh yeah, me too. I remember I watched the first one. I liked it, but I like the second one more. So
yeah, me too.
I am very excited to see the second one again. So,
and I love how the second one, I love how they utilized the first one in the second one, knowing that they really had the finances to really step it up for the second one with the character designs and different things like that. So I love how they kind of utilized the first one in the second one to explain. It was pretty clever.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last but not least, we have a little information here about Trap from M. Night Shyamalan coming to theaters August 2nd. It is described as a father and his teen daughter attend a pop concert, only to realize they've entered the center of a dark and sinister event. I actually saw a trailer for this on the last movie I saw in theaters, which would have been The Watchers. And I was like, wow, I have not seen anything about this, but it looks really good.
Yeah, yeah, it does look interesting. And it's, yeah, it's a unique, it seems unique, right? It's a unique ideal. And M. Night always, you know, is known for his twists, right? And in the past, and he's been known for this. And I just feel like this one, this one's prime for something. It's not going to be what we think. I feel like there's going to be something else to it. And, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, folks, I think that's it for news and upcoming releases. Try to get through that pretty quickly since, you know, we're already at an hour. good Lord.
Ay, caramba.
So we're going to take a brief little pause here. But when we come back, we will have our official review of The Watchers. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing. All right, and we're back. Oh, man, I can't believe we got a whole nother section to do here. I just feel like we've been doing this for like a week now. The wise rebuttal just always takes it out of me. Anyway, it's the review time. No. Here we go. We're going with The Watchers, which is now in theaters. Written and directed by Shana Shyamalan. Starring Dakota Fanning, Georgiana Campbell, Alwyn Ferrier, and others. It was released June 7th in theaters. It grossed a little over $7 million on its opening weekend, which was good for number four that weekend. This is maybe what did we do? We did Frogman that week that it came out, I believe, right? We decided to do Frogman, which I don't regret in the least. Really love Frogman. Yeah. But we didn't really have anything. There wasn't really anything there this week. No new release really hitting hard. So we thought, oh, well, we can go hook back around and check The Watchers. And, again, I'm not going to be long-winded about this. I'm going to, you know, the movie was good. It was entertaining. It was a fun movie. I do feel that maybe there were parts that were a little slow moving. That's just kind of my personal thing though with these type of movies. Sometimes it's like I just need a little something in there to break up a little bit of the monotony here and there. Monotony is not the right word, but just to give it a little spike. But the movie was gorgeously shot, you know, very well done, had a clever concept to it, and was acted very well. definitely was pretty damn creepy, the whole concept of what was happening. And again, I'm not going to give a whole lot of spoilers on this, but what was happening, what was going on it really kind of creeped me out. There's that whole aspect of The Watchers is that's terrifying to me. That is that, you know, that being in that situation. I didn't know exactly where the movie was going. I did have kind of some gut feeling of some of the parts that were going. I thought I kind of had that figured out a little bit. Not that it ruined anything for me, but I enjoyed the movie. And for this being M. Night's daughter's, you know, debut, writing and directing, this is a pretty damn good entry as a debut. And she definitely has some talents. She definitely has some of that creative vision that her dad has, right? There's still some of that uniqueness in this, how you approach things and do things. And well done. It was, you know, I won't say this is my favorite movie. I won't say that I enjoyed this as much as many of M. Night's movies, but for being, you know, the break and the debut in, it, you know, it's a pretty solid entry, and I did enjoy the movie. It's just you got to really wow me with something like this to really kind of blow me away. Otherwise, this is it's just not my cup of tea kind of movie, right? It's just a little, I don't know how to describe it. It's, I'll say, slow moving, slow developing, not necessarily in a negative sense, but just for me personally. It just, you know, it's a good movie, just not necessarily my favorite type of movie. So, Ike, what did you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm always down for, you know, sort of a different off the beaten track kind of genre, which this film certainly was. You know, this film doesn't typically fall into like the standard, you know, variations of like slasher, monster, whatever. I guess it would be a monster of some sort, which, spoiler, I'm not sure if we said that already. Spoiler. They're, you know, the creatures are fairies, right? Is that, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah. They say it's kind of, yeah. Well, they said that people, give them many names. Yes. And they mentioned that fairies were one of them, right? It's saying that it kind of, to me, was, there's lots of creatures and types in folklore that people talk about and give names to. And many of those tales are these, but there's just different cultural perceptions of them. Fairies are one of them. Because I'm not going to give away part of the concept of why, but yes, there's, you are right. But again, different cultures have different names, which is, you know, kind of common, right? But they're, fairies were a common perception of these.
Right. But what I'll say is that when I went into the movie, that was not on my bingo card for the movie. Like, I was like, that definitely threw me for a loop. In a good way, completely. But, you know, not only was the concept different and refreshing to me, I really liked the cinematography. I liked basically where they filmed. From what I understand, they filmed in Ireland, yeah, and there was a lot of really, really cool scenery. Like,
oh, yeah.
Genuinely, like, it was just really, really awesome. The wooded areas and everything else, the small villages, really neat, really, really neat, honestly. I'll probably say that was one of my favorite parts of the film, that even though there was that sense of terror and dread, and they really did make those woods look super creepy, it was still just really neat seeing those, that wooded area and like the weather and everything else. But, you know, I think it was very interesting because it also sort of, like you said, falls into that sort of fear of being trapped, or being a fear of being watched and not being able to see the person who's watching you. And, you know, so not only did you have that supernatural aspect kind of as the tertiary, but you also had sort of that spooky, like, you being watched. And that's one of the creepiest things about, like, other genres of horror films, is that you don't like being watched. You don't like not being able to see something that is clearly there. And that, in my opinion, is what drove the first half of the movie. And then as the movie gets along, you kind of, you learn a little more, you see a little bit more, and things get a little crazy, you know. And I'm not going to spoil the ultimate twist, which them being fairies is not the twist. There's an even larger twist at hand. But honestly, I really, really liked it. You know, this was just a genuinely, I think, in my opinion, was a very, very interesting movie. Had a lot of meat to it. Like you said, there were some slow moving parts, but I feel like once you got into the meat of it, it kind of flowed. And that's kind of what I saw. I saw this flow, this very organic measure to it. I will say that towards the end, there was a little bit of, what I would say is a little bit of deviation from, like, sort of like being engaged. I maybe it was just because they snapped out of it so quick, but I just felt like there was a little bit of a lapse towards the end of the movie, but nothing too major. But the one other thing that I would like to say is that the people who were in this film, the people that were in the box that were being watched, mm-hmm. they did so great. I mean, they were genuinely, you know, very good at what they were doing. They presented as best as they could, and I just really enjoyed it. And, you know, like I said, Shana Shyamalan this is her first, you know, directorial debut. So I give her major props. This was a very, very good, strong first entry. As a lot of times, you know, people's first films are not always quality films, you know. So, you know, seeing this sort of level, this sort of, you know, jump into the genre, to me, means that she will be successful in the future. You know, Ashana, she did great. So, and I even told Kayla after I walked out of the movie, I was like, I would love to see, like, an expanded universe where there are other types of monsters and everything else. And, like, I feel like they could definitely do something like that if they were smart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it was a good movie. It was a fun movie. Not necessarily my favorite style of movie. So, you know, that might be why I have a little bit of the ho-hum. You know, it's weird. I don't mind a slow burn if there's a big payoff. And while this one was good, I just don't feel like the end payoff leveled me as much as, you know, I felt it was kind of slow burning. You know, that's not bad. It's just my personal opinion. So, okay. So let's just go ahead and let's move on and wrap this up. And I feel like we spent 2 weeks on this episode. So Ike, out of 5 screams, what are you giving The Watchers?
I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. Again, it was a good movie. Not necessarily my forte. You know, just it is what it is. I did enjoy it, but it's not something that I would rush to watch again per se. So so an average of a 3.25 screams from us. Again, it is a fun movie. Well made, well done. So if you've not had a chance to see it yet, go see it in theaters. And I'm sure it will be hitting video on demand probably in the near future. So, next week, we are going to be reviewing a movie called Hunting for the Hag. This movie is available video on demand now on Amazon Prime and Vudu. The movie is written and directed by Paul Brooks, and Paul reached out to us, said, "Hey guys, I got this film. Would you be interested in watching it and everything else?" And I said, "Sure, we're always open to watching a movie." And, so he sent us a screener link to watch it. It was, you know, and I thought, you know what? We've kind of got another gap here, right? Another week where there's not really something to review. So, Paul, perfect timing on your part. You get a full episodic review next week. And, we will be talking for Hunting for the Hag. And again, if you like to watch the movies ahead of our review, you can watch it video on demand on Amazon Prime and or Vudu. So, go give it a watch. The aforementioned Daniel Roebuck, that we talked about earlier being in Terrifier 3, is in this movie. He is in this. So, go watch it before we review it next week. So, Ike, we've survived. Not only did we survive another episode, we survived another wise rebuttal.
Yes.
It seems to get more and more difficult every time. But, que sera, sera. I think we knew what we signed up for. And, so before we close and get out of here, is there anything that you want to throw in?
You know, if you ever end up in the middle of the woods and you can't find your way back to your car, look out for a kind of spooky looking old lady and maybe she'll guide you to safety.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or
she might be the witch from Hansel and Gretel. Who knows?
That's right. She might be taking you to cook you and eat you. You know, you 50-50 chance. you have to weigh those options. All right, well, there you have it. Another one in the book. Review of The Watchers, A Wiser Battle in the book. Next week, Hunting for the Hag. Lots and lots going on. So we'll be back again next week. Another cheesy slasher next week, of course. Everybody seems to be very much enjoying that segment of the show. I very much enjoy that segment of the show because, well, hell, I like cheesy slashers. So there you go. So until next week, I'm Dave. That's Ike. This is Listen to the Screams, and wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.